Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves here. Should you wish to join us, you can do that. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. In the studio with you tonight, you've got Ian.
And Chris.
And nobody.
And, of course, you're, again, invited to bring up what you want. But, of course, we've got news to discuss, including an update coming up on Kim.com. A lot of people may not really know what I'm talking about with, it sounds like a domain name, but it's actually a man's name. He changed his name legally to Kim.com. His last name is D-O-T-C-O-M.
Was his name originally Kim? Or?
I don't know. That's a good question. That you know, you've maxed out my knowledge about Kim.com.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
But he was the founder of Mega Upload.
And does he own that domain?
Another good question. I know that he used to own megaupload.com, and that's why the federal government from the United States raided his house in New Zealand most of a decade ago now. I think it was like 2012 or something like that.
Yeah, it was a while ago. I don't know if it's been quite a decade, but it's getting close. This is just the extradition,
right?
Not even the trial.
So yeah, we'll give you an update on what's going on with him, because it was one of those examples of the U.S. federal government having a global reach where they were literally able to conduct a raid on a man who was in New Zealand. It's a pretty crazy story, and we can talk about that. But of course, the election has been on a lot of people's minds. We did a lot of recapping, focusing on some of the propositions like the drug decriminalization that passed very well, like 60% almost voting in favor of that in Oregon. I think that's the most important news of the week. But obviously a lot of people are paying attention to the presidential race, and it looks like the counts in the four battleground states that had not been decided as of Tuesday and Wednesday, Pennsylvania, Georgia, North Carolina, and Nevada, now look like three of those states are shifting towards Joe Biden, as far as he is now in the lead, and they are at the very tail end of some of these counts. All Biden needs is one of these states in order to secure the 270 electoral votes in order to win the election. So
I think they outslicked him.
Outslicked Trump, you mean?
Yep.
You know,
they outcheated him.
I have to say, I don't think I heard as much noise from Trump, you know, leading up to this election cycle.
Well, they blocked him on Twitter, so apparently he's still allowed to tweet on Twitter. But what's been happening there is they've been semi censoring his posts by, I guess, putting some sort of a warning up on all of his posts.
Well, they've also been blocking from Facebook and Twitter for months. Have been blocking anybody who's to the right of Stalin.
So what happens when you're on Donald Trump's profile is a lot of his tweets have a box occluding, like you can't see what he tweeted. It just says in a box, some or all of the content shared in this tweet is disputed and might be misleading about an election or other civic process. And then you can either learn more.
We can't have the Russians interfering with our elections. We need big tech to do that.
This is so true.
And then you can click to view what Donald Trump actually did tweet. So there's now protests are scheduled. We were at dinner tonight, you and I, Chris. There's a local meetup that happens here in Keene on Friday nights at the local Fakine Great restaurant. And we call it Fakine Fridays. And that one of the guys that was there was telling us about that there are going to be protests across the country apparently happening tomorrow at various different state houses. And these are pro-Trump protests. So they're calling it Stop the Steal. Pro-Trump protesters, according to the
That's also getting silenced, by the way. They're trying
tweets about that.
Yeah, they're trying to silence that hashtag.
Pro-Trump protesters, some of them openly carrying rifles and handguns, already started their rallies today, apparently, outside of vote tabulation centers in a few cities around the country, responding to groundless accusations. This is according to the AP.
It's interesting. When did the AP started saying things were groundless?
Probably during the Trump administration, would be my guess.
It's really interesting that they, too, are working very hard to rig this election.
So they're claiming groundless accusations from President Donald Trump that the Democrats were trying to steal the White House. Election officials in several states where
How do they know that's groundless? Have they been watching the Democrats very, very closely?
Like counting the votes?
Yeah.
They're not going to answer your questions, I'm afraid.
No, No, they're not. It's just important to point out that these questions exist.
That's right.
Because this is why journalists don't say, oh, yeah, he said they're trying to rig the election, but they aren't, when they have no evidence that they aren't. They don't usually just say, oh, that's groundless. That's
now,
not true.
I don't know what the evidence is that they are, but of course you would expect both political sides to cheat if they are given the opportunity.
I do expect them both to cheat, but what I didn't expect until the Trump administration was for the media to be wholeheartedly trying to cheat on one side right along with the Democrats. And, you know, I had more respect for the media than I ever will again.
I never had any respect for him, so it's hard to lower the bar for me. But
it was more.
I'm just always amazed by, you know, the just society in general and just how the bar is very, very low.
And I don't have a preference. I mean, to me, I'd kind of rather have Biden in there because...
Really?
Well, yeah, if there's going to be a revolution, who wants the Democrats on your side? They don't have any guns. I want the Republicans to be on the anti-government side.
I personally don't find either side, you know, anything other than repugnant, so...
Well, I'd rather have repugnant armed allies.
I think you mean repugnant. Repugnant,
yes.
I'd rather have repugnant
repugnant means they're kind of stinky.
Than repugnant unarmed.
Yeah, they're probably that too.
Similar.
Allies. Yeah.
So elections officials in several states where Joe Biden was ahead said the anger outside their doors made them fear for the safety of their employees.
Well, you know, it's funny things happen to you when you're a tyrant.
Roughly 100 Trump supporters gathered for a third straight day in front of the election center in Phoenix, where hundreds of workers were processing and counting ballots. Arrest the poll workers, the crowd chanted, demanding 4 more years in office for Trump. Sheriff's deputies kept protesters in a, quote, free speech zone away from the entrance to the building.
A free speech zone is a contradiction in terms.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the only way it'll stop being done is if people stop going into them. Right. So as soon as the cops say, hey, your free speech zone is over there, the moment you walk into it, you've lost your free speech.
Yeah.
So you got to stay where you are. If you're on private property,
stay where you are, and you've got to be ready to fight for that ground so the police don't just beat the hell out of you and then drag your corpse into the free speech zone.
Well, if there's hundreds of protesters, then there probably aren't as many people. I said there are 100 Trump supporters, so I doubt they were outnumbered by the police in this particular case, but you never know. It does help. Numbers are really what matter here. If you can outnumber the police by 3 times to 4 or 5 times the numbers, then it's very unlikely they're going to have much of an effect against you unless they pull out the tear gas and tanks. The
well, they will the pull out the tear gas and the tanks.
Yeah, did you see?
You know, what you need is to outnumber them and outgun them.
Did you see what happened? I forget what it was, which convention. I think it was a Republican convention in New York City, and the Democrats were protesting.
Was that this year?
Convention, but no, it was a number of years ago.
Okay.
And but the police pulled out nets and they just netted everybody who was on the street.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Let's go to Ishmael. He's on the line calling from somewhere in the U.S. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Ishmael Isaac. I'm a university student studying pharmacy, and things got really out of hand starting yesterday, and things are just all out of sorts. Yesterday in our democracy class, we voted to take the teacher's wallet away because he was teaching about democracy. I know it sounds like a joke, but we
well, democracy is a joke.
Every gang rape is a democratic success story.
That's what we were thinking.
Well, yeah, you guys pointed out brilliantly how democracy is used to, take things from people, right? The majority says steal the teacher's wallet, so now he's got to give it up, right? Hang on, Ishmael, we'll bring you back here. You can tell us more about the crazy stuff going on there on your college campus, and I'm interested in hearing about that. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, plus the pro-Trump protests that are now apparently erupting across the United States. You can share your thoughts. It's Free Talk Live. We'll be right back. Free Talk Live. Bring up whatever you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We also have our Matrix chat server where you can get on and interact with other Free Talk Live listeners. And they are there pretty much around the clock. You can go to chat.lrn.fm, and that is where you get the step-by-step instructions on how to join the Matrix server. It is a pretty cool thing. We've had it going for, I'd say, more than a month at this point, maybe like a month and a half. I'm pretty happy with it so far, and I think it's been getting a lot of positive reviews. So come on over and check it out at chat.lrn.fm. It's not perfect, but it's ours.
We can change it if we want to.
That's true. So check out also Divvy if you're interested in cryptocurrencies. Divvy's making it super easy to get started with a masternode. It used to be that you kind of had to know a thing or two about setting up servers in order to run a masternode, and that is not the case anymore. Divvy has basically automated the process for you. With a few clicks, you'll have your own Divvy masternode up and rolling, which is amazing. There's never been anything that I've seen that's been that easy in the world of cryptocurrency for masternodes. And that is a way that you can be earning Divvy, but you need to have Divvy in order to start a masternode. So in order to purchase Divvy, you can do it two ways. You can go to a few of the exchanges out there that carry Divvy, or you can get it directly from the Divvy team, and you can get in touch with them directly via their Telegram channel, which is available through their website. You can link over to it at diviproject.org, diviproject.org. So protests kicking off at polling locations across the United States. Apparently, they're moving to state house locations on Saturday. I'm not sure why they chose Saturday, considering the state houses are going to be closed. Yeah. But nonetheless...
Yeah, it's because they have jobs.
That's a good point. Ishmael is on the line in the United States. He says he is a college student, and you were kind of letting us know some of the stuff that's been going on campus. Go ahead, Ishmael.
Yeah, I'm Ishmael Isaac, and we thought we'd play a joke on our professor, who was teaching us about the importance of democracy. So we voted to take his wallet away. And then he agreed to go to the pizza shop. Then we were at the pizza shop. We were going to pay, but then we voted for some free food at the pizza shop. We got free pizza, and then we went home.
Hold on. Wait a minute. You voted the professor to buy you the pizza, or the pizza shop to just give it to you?
Well, he joked and said he should give us his wallet.
Mm-hmm.
But he sort of laughed and broke down and gave us some money to buy pizza and have a pizza party.
How many people are in this college class? Because aren't college classes like 200 or like 100 people or something?
That's a big class.
Yeah, about 50.
Okay, wow, that's a lot of pizza.
Yeah, there's a lot of pizza.
All right. So this guy's going along with this just to teach you that he thinks democracy is a good thing, which for our listeners, we always like to say democracy is two wolves and a sheep deciding on dinner. Mm. And it's, you know, might makes right, basically.
Yeah, well, that was actually, I think it was Franklin who said democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what to have for dinner. And mm-hmm. Jefferson responded that liberty was a well-armed lamb contesting the vote.
Nice. So what else, Ishmael?
Well, we went to the pizza shop, and then they decided to give us free pizza. The owner at first protested, but the wife of the owner then said, you know, we're just young and we deserve pizza because it's hard for us to get a job. And then we...
So you got pity pizza.
Yeah, pity pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And we went home for the day not thinking anything would come of it. And then the next day, it really broke out. All the classrooms were trying the same thing. And some ended up getting violent. And are really forceful, and now they're in the streets, and they're trying to vote themselves everything, and it's just getting out of hand. They're trying to vote themselves free tuition by draining the endowment fund.
Wait, what? Mm-hmm. How?
You steal the money out of the endowment fund, and you use it to pay your tuition.
I mean, I would think they wouldn't have access to the endowment fund.
Well, they're voting for it. The question is, are they going to beat the hell out of people when they don't do it? Because that's the other stage of democracy, is you then have to do violence against the people who refuse to accede to your democratic command. Right,
so what's happening with the endowment fund?
They want to take the money out that is invested for future students.
So is this real? Like, you're actually, this is actually happening? What college is this?
Well, of course this has happened. This is Ishmael Isaac.
Well, who, I don't know what that, I don't know what that means.
Friedman? Okay. Huh? I'm sorry. This is a joke.
Okay.
But, who's Ishmael Isaac? Is that actually your name?
There's a couple of biblical names.
No, it means, I didn't want this religious, but it means God hears laughter.
Okay. Well, you made some good points.
If I studied my Hebrew a little better, I'd know.
It's kind of hilarious because, like, it's so plausible today that this sort of thing would happen. Like, I mean, sure. There's actually people demanding this kind of stuff.
So, are you actually in a college class, or was all that made up?
No. I read the Adventures of Jonathan Gullible by Ken School,
nice.
And one
good
of his
book.
Chapters. It's about the Democracy Gang, and that was an inspiration for me to do this story.
Gotcha. Hey, thanks for the call tonight, Ishmael. It was creative. I appreciate it.
Hope he goes down to the local college and talks them into doing that, because it will be instructive for everyone, I'm sure.
It's funny even without doing it.
Thank you for that. Let's go to Jessica in Missouri. Jessica, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wondered something.
This is Jessica?
Apparently. Go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
Okay, I just wondered why it was that y'all seemed like so, like almost pragmatic, you know, about how corrupt our political system is, with Democrats and the Republicans being pretty much two sides of the same political coin and all. But simultaneously, you're almost fancifully idealistic about the Free State Project and seceding from the Union.
Ooh.
I mean, how can you be both at the same time?
This is a very interesting critique, I think.
It's a question.
I don't necessarily think that you're entirely wrong about it. It is a bit fanciful, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's not happening. As far as, you know, at some level, right? Like, there is, you know, there ideally that would be, you know, what would happen maybe, but that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, we have to get there overnight, right?
Well, and we are idealistic. I mean, that's absolutely true. We are shooting for the moon. We're shooting for, you know, a voluntarist society, which we have no even semblance of at the moment. One that eliminates the idea of the coercive state from, you know, human life. I mean, that is a big, big goal.
Taking wild-ass gambles in the name of liberty is an American tradition, you know.
Indeed. But, Jessica, if you'll hang on, we can talk further about it if you would like. More here in moments. Your calls and thoughts are welcome. Our number is 855-450-FREE. Is the Free State Project or the New Hampshire Freedom Migration the perfect thing? No.
Heck no.
No.
By far.
It's an ugly thing.
It would have to have more girls to be perfect.
Yeah. So we'll continue, though, because it still is the best bet that I can see out
there.
And if I'm wrong about that, let me know what's a better option. I want to hear all about it. It's
news from news.bitcoin.com. Bitcoin tops 13,000 and breaks its own record for consecutive days above 10,000. Satoshi Nakamoto, if alive, enters the top 200 world's wealthiest people. DC, International Monetary Fund Manager, warns of major financial reset imminent. PayPal begins selling and accepting Bitcoin. Bitcoin goes mainstream. Bitcoin.com is your source for getting started with cryptocurrencies, getting a wallet, buying Bitcoin Cash, and all the latest cryptocurrency news at news.bitcoin.com.
It is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. There's protests that are happening outside of polling locations, polling headquarters or whatever, around the country at various different places, and apparently even more are expected tomorrow at state houses with a group of pro-Trump protesters calling themselves Stop the Steal, demanding poll workers being arrested. We can tell you more about that coming up here with you in the studio tonight. It's Ian.
And Chris.
And nobody.
But I'll tell you, polling, or rather protesting, isn't going to cut it. If you just keep on paying taxes, you keep on obeying the regulations, you keep on doing what these bureaucrats and politicians tell you, then nothing's ever going to change. They don't care if you're out in the streets waving signs.
Well, I mean, the people out in the streets right now don't mind having somebody tell them what to do. They just want it to be a particular person.
Yeah, that's right. And so that's why nothing's ever going to change. They just want to take their shot at the system. They want their guy to be in control so they can tell other people what to do. And it's this sickness of constantly trying to, tell other people how to live is why there's always somebody trying to tell you how to live. But let's get back on the line here with Jessica. She's on with us calling from Missouri. Where are you, by the way, in Missouri tonight, Jessica?
I'm in Springfield, Missouri.
Oh, in Springfield. Okay, wonderful. So you're back on Free Talk Live. And now you were calling, and I don't want to put words in your mouth. I'm just going to try to recap what you'd said before. You had pointed out that, you know, we're basically rightfully critical of both the right and the left, but yet idealistic about the idea of migrating libertarians to New Hampshire and seceding from the United States. Is that about what you had to say?
Yeah, I just wondered why there was a chasm between your thought processes about the U.S. federal government. Yeah, you want to do this free state thing seems almost fanciful because, I mean, didn't the Civil War kind of negate that? Because isn't it going to happen again if you...
Didn't the Civil War negate the idea of secession?
Well, war does not determine who is right. War determines who is left.
But no, I mean, her question is a serious question, and it comes up a lot. When you talk about secession, the first objection that people give you is the federal government's going to murder you.
Well, I mean, it's possible that they will murder us. I've been kind of waiting for them to murder me for a while. Mm-hmm. But nothing that the federal government can say or do can change the fact that their very existence and the moral case for their existence depends on the Declaration of Independence, in which it says that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it. And the only way to abolish a government is by force, because a government is a massive clump of privilege, and people don't give up privileges easily.
It's funny to quote effectively what is a quote from, you know, the people who set up the government in your attack on government.
Yeah, well, you know, it kind of puts them in a bad spot.
Yeah,
because frankly, if they have some convincing argument against the right to rebel, then we should return the entire country to the British.
Yeah, it's true.
Jessica?
Yeah. It seems that, you know, all these words are just words. You know, when it comes down to it, the feds are going to come in and crush you like a bug.
Well, you know what? I'd rather take the risk. I'd rather take the risk. I mean, the fact that people think that about the federal government is reason to secede. These people are so scary that people are afraid to actually have their own, you know, shot at freedom. They're afraid to try to declare independence again because they're so frightened of what the federal government might do. And you know what? Why not? I mean, what do we got to lose?
If you give up before the fight begins, you automatically lose. If you don't, you have a chance.
Stop letting them push you around. And here's the other thing. If more people were to stand up, then what are they going to do? Exterminate the entire population?
They couldn't. There's about a 1.5 million active duty military plus police, and there are 300 million Americans. That means that each soldier would have to murder 200 of us in order for them to take us off.
And some of them are
not going to happen.
Right.
And a lot of us, at least on one side of the aisle, are armed.
That's true. And also, some of the soldiers aren't going to follow that order. I don't know what percentage of them will or won't, but some of of them. So it's not going to be 100% of the soldiers that are willing to turn their guns against their countrymen. Same thing's true of some of the police. I mean, if some of the cops, for instance, will say, now whether this is true or not, they'll say it. They'll say, if I were ever ordered to confiscate guns, I would not follow that order. So some of them have a line in the sand where they aren't willing to go past.
Yeah, I mean,
I wouldn't rely on that, but some of them have.
Chances are they'd be replaced, but you know,
replaced with who though? I mean, who wants to become a cop in the middle of a revolution?
There's plenty of people who are willing to do really bad.
Not as many these days, Chris. It's actually getting harder and harder for police departments to put staff on the streets.
And you can always do really bad things on the right side.
There's some truth to that, but there's also some truth to the fact that they just keep hiring more cops or wanting more cops.
Well, they want more, but it's getting harder to find them.
Well, they're also trying to increase the number of cops on the streets. So
they're trying. I'm just telling you. And this isn't just like a personal opinion.
Yeah.
I spoke with a police chief in this area within the last few years. He was actually working moonlighting as a college security guard here at the local college in Keene, and he's a police chief from one of the surrounding towns, and he was bemoaning how difficult it was to find somebody to just work in a little town cop job, let alone some big city job.
Well, they probably don't pay as well in towns as they do in the cities.
Maybe not, but you don't have to deal with the crazy stuff that you have to deal with in a city.
Yeah, there have been articles on a regular basis for the last decade talking about how difficult it is to hire bully boys.
Yeah. Hey, Jessica, thanks for the call tonight. I definitely appreciate hearing from you. Let's go to Tom. He's in New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Tom.
The Secretary of State of the state of Georgia, USA, has announced that there's going to be a recount in Georgia because it's really close.
Oh.
He goes on to say that this is critical. What's going on in Georgia is critical to the whole country. And the point that, yes, the vote count in Georgia is very close.
Yeah, it's about 5,000 away or 4,000 vote difference.
Now, if Biden and Harris win in Pennsylvania, that makes Georgia irrelevant, but they still need to have a recount. Just like, remember, in 2016, when Clinton... the Democrats won in New Hampshire and lost across, and Trump won the presidency of the Electoral College. The Democrats in New Hampshire, those four, still had to go to the State House and do their Electoral College thing because they were elected and their candidate won in New Hampshire. Even though they knew that their candidate already lost in the Electoral College, they still had to go and do their thing. It's not like the World Series where you lose the first four games and that's it. You don't even bother playing the fifth game. These 16 electors have to go to the Georgia State Capitol building and do their Electoral College thing that day, and it has to be the ones that actually got elected in Georgia. So that's why you got to have a recount either way. So I just want to point that out to your listeners who are listening on WMTM 1300 AM and 105.1 FM and WWNS 1240 AM Statesboro, Georgia.
You're reading off our Georgia affiliates. Thank you for that, Tom. Yeah. I think they all know that they're there.
Do they know where they are? Okay, yeah. Okay, well, some candidates, by the way, they get mixed up of whether they're in Ohio or Iowa. They're going campaigning. They don't know where in the world they are.
Right, they just get off an airplane and they say stuff and they get back on an airplane.
The senile child molester said he was in Vermont when he was in Keene.
That's right. No, I mean, close enough. Hey, thanks for the call tonight, Tom. I appreciate it. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. I mean, I could understand why someone would confuse Keene with Vermont.
Yeah, me too.
It's pretty much right next door. And it's the lefty city
Definitely.
In New Hampshire. So, more coming up. You can join us, 855-450-FREE like freedom. This is Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. All you have to do, take control of the airwaves. Our number, 855-450-FREE like freedom. It's 855-450-3733. Free Talk Live is brought to you by the AMP program. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. And listeners like Rich, who is a Free Talk Live Platinum Amplifier. That means Rich contributes $25 a month, at least, to this radio program and helps us get on more radio stations around the country, bringing new internet listeners on board, bringing new people to the ideas of liberty, which sadly, there are no other shows like us on the radio.
No, definitely not.
I wish we had competition, but, you know, we really don't. So if you like what we're doing, we're your best bet. And you can support us just like Rich did, although we're only asking for $5 a month. Rich did five times that amount, at least. So definitely appreciate that, but all we ask is five. So if you could do $5 a month, you'll get some benefits. You get some perks. All you have to do is go to amp.freetalklive.com to get signed up there. That's ampamp.freetalklive.com. In fact, we have one of those amplifiers on the line. His name is Gene, the Christian Anarchist. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Gene.
Hey, I want to talk about North Korea.
Okay, what's going on over there?
Well, it's definitely a communist, you know, hellhole. And
right.
There's a YouTube channel that just came out a couple of months ago, and I've been keeping an eye on it. It's called Voice of North Korea. And it's a young lady who is a defector from North Korea, and she tells her life story, what she was going through and stuff. And I mean, her life story will bring a tear to your eye.
Oh, yeah, they're always horrible and fascinating, like a train wreck. Sometimes they're really interesting and uplifting, but a lot of times there's a lot of tragedy to get through before you get to the uplifting part.
But this young woman is such a joy to watch because she appreciates liberty, mm-hmm. and she appreciates it. Like, I mean, it means more to her than 99% of the Americans.
Now, what's her name? Do you remember?
Yomi Park.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked about her before.
Mm-hmm. And there's one video that she does where she talks about she doesn't want, even though her life was horrible, it was miserable, she doesn't want to be remembered for her victimhood, but rather for her victories. And I'm thinking, man, that is such a great attitude to have, because she feels now that she has obtained the most precious jewel in the world. She's obtained her liberty,
mm-hmm.
and the people in this country are willing to throw their liberties away,
mm.
and they treat their liberty like it's filthy rags or something. It just, to me, it is amazing that the American people who once found liberty to be important have just treated it like it's not important. It's not even a thing to them anymore. They don't care about it.
Nope.
Strong men make good times. Good times make weak men. Weak men make bad times. And bad times make strong men.
That's the cycle.
Yeah, and but they've gotten so weak. And just in the span of my lifetime.
Well, times have been really good.
Yeah. And I've watched the people go from, you know, what were very logical thinkers who could look at a situation and say, well, this doesn't sound right, mm-hmm. to now they believe the craziest stuff that's put on the news. They just look at this election cycle.
Well, they thought it sounded right to send their kids to the government to be educated, so that was the first lapse in logic. Mm-hmm. The rest flowed mm-hmm. from that.
And in 2020, all the science that existed about mask wearing was thrown out the window and all of a sudden flipped 180 degrees. And now people believe that masks do something. And I go through the stores and I look around. I'm not wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at all these other people with their masks on. And I'm thinking, what a bunch of zombies. They've totally sucked this non-true idea into their hearts, and they actually, I think they believe it. I believe that most of them believe it.
You know, I don't know about that. I think it's more about obedience than anything else. I mean, you do what you're told, kind of.
There's also social pressure.
Yeah, I think for a lot of them, it's I hate Trump virtue signaling.
But you can't tell who. So, you know, when you're looking at these people, almost all of them are wearing a mask. Some of them are virtue signaling. Others are signaling, leave me alone. Others are signaling that they're afraid of what people will think of them if they were to go free-faced.
Well, they want to go into the store. They don't think they're going to be allowed in if they refuse.
That's true as well. The stores have signs up that say masks are required.
And in some cases, that is the case. They will be refused. So
I have yet to have that happen with the exception of a bank.
I don't know. I mean, I think they would have kicked me out if based on some of the reactions I've gotten at some stores. So I don't know. I would say
like
that.
It's like I'm living in the Matrix, and every one of those people might turn into Mr. Smith at any time.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. Yeah. In fact, there's even a news story today that I have in my show prep about I think it's Los Angeles. There was a story there, and I don't have it in front of me at the moment, but that basically they're authorizing the people there, Simi Valley, businesses, given the green light to call the police on their own customers who refuse to wear face masks. So, I mean, it's just really scary snitch society stuff to the max.
Well, I mean, if you tell somebody to leave and they don't leave, that's trespassing. So they could have called the police either way before.
Well, yeah, that's true. But I don't think that's what we're referring to here. We can get into the story later on.
All right.
But go ahead. Anything else, Gene, you want to share?
I'd like people to go look at that YouTube channel. That's really an eye-opening
What's
story.
Her channel name?
It's called the Voice of North Korea.
Voice of North Korea. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Thanks, Gene. Yeah. Appreciate it. Yeah, Yeonmi Park. She is a very beautiful young lady, and she spoke at one of the Liberty conferences several years back. I remember my girlfriend at the time went down to D.C. to see her speak. She's a big fan of what she did, what she had to say. So, cool chick. All right, so 855-450-FREE, that's 855-450-3733. You know, just to come back around to our caller earlier who had brought up the Free State Project and the migration of freedom lovers here to New Hampshire as idealism, or the idea of seceding from the United States as idealism, I actually suggested to a state rep the other day that maybe it's time now to actually start to put secession out as a topic, you know, for discussion. Get people talking about the idea of secession. Yeah, is it gonna work the first time we try it? No, probably not. I mean,
but if at first you don't secede, try again.
Exactly.
True, so true.
So, I mean, we have to get the conversation started, and this is the best way to go about doing that is to actually have somebody in the state legislature put forward the proposal. And I think you should always be talking about secession because you don't want to be seen as being politically motivated. You don't want people to say, oh, well, now you want to secede because Joe Biden's in office.
Oh, yeah.
You want to be able to say, no, see, we've been wanting to secede from when Trump was in,
and you know
from
what?
When Barack Obama was in.
We were protesting during Trump.
During Trump, absolutely.
For secession. So, yeah, it's not like if we continue it up, you know, it's going to be hard to say. But you know what? People say things all the time that are not true.
That's true.
So they can
and
still say.
They'll see what they want to see.
Yeah, and they will see what they want to see. So yeah,
but yeah, none of those things should stop people from getting out there and doing this. And it may be a good time to start recruiting some people from the right wing to the secession movement. So when it's the lefties who are in charge, the right is more likely to be interested in secession, and vice versa as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, for both sides, you know, one side hated Obama, the other side hated Trump. So you got to wonder who would consent to a system that makes them like be ruled by someone they detest for 8 years at a time, half of the time.
You would think. I mean, that's the same question.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's the same question I would ask. And when Trump first took office, there were the anti-Trump protests that were going on. If people remember, that was happening.
I remember that howling crazy woman.
There was was in D.C. at his inauguration. I know what you're talking about. It was a hilarious video. The woman just screaming.
It was so bizarre
lungs.
To see people protesting like after the elections. Like, it just, like, you think you would be like out there organizing before to get your party, your person elected, not to be out there
after
the fact.
Well, they did
both. Trying to protest something that they have no ability to change.
Well, that's what people do. Okay. They're not willing to actually do anything like not pay taxes or not obey, right? Like to throw themselves into the gears of the state or something like that. They're not willing to do that, but they can go out and wave a sign and shout. And that's what you're going to see happen tomorrow with the pro-Trump protesters that are heading over to state houses with their Stop the Steal protests, which, again, aren't really going to do anything. The results are going to be what the results are going to be. Yeah, they're going to recount, but when all's said and done, the government's still going to get bigger, and whether it's Joe Biden or Donald Trump, the government's going to get bigger and more oppressive.
But their interest isn't in making the government less smaller.
No, they just want to take it over.
They just want to use it against us.
Absolutely.
855-450-FREE. Well, not so much against us per se, but the other side.
Sure.
All people, not them.
Not them, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. 855-450-FREE. We can talk more about the protests that are going to be outside of state houses apparently tomorrow. You can also bring up whatever's on your mind, plus a Kim.com update on the extradition down in New Zealand.
Freedom! Freedom is the call of the untamed Scotsman and all others that want to feel the wind under their kilts.
At Free Talk Live, we love the breezy swinging feeling that only a kilt from Sport Kilt can give.
We teamed up with Sport Kilt to let you experience their form of freedom at a discount. Go to kilts.freetalklive.com and see a picture of Richie and me in our kilts.
And then head over to sportkilt.com. Get some stylish freedom for yourself and use code FTL for a 10% discount. Sportkilt.com.
Free Talk Live.
Hey, it's Free Talk Live. We're kicking off the second hour of the program. You can take control of the airwaves here. On the way, the latest on Kim.com, the founder of Mega Upload, raided back in the early part of the last decade. Been trying to extradite him to the United States from New Zealand ever since. And Chris has an update. We'll get into that a little bit later on. With you tonight, it is Ian.
And Chris.
And nobody.
So just to continue the actually, I've had a lot of calls tonight, and I love having participation.
It's good.
So thank you to everybody who's been participating so far. It's more interesting to hear, not that I don't mind talking to you guys, but it's always interesting to hear from other people.
It does get kind of dull talking to the same people, you know, show after show after show. But at least there is some change
up
with
new voices
from one day to the next, at least.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've had new callers tonight too.
Yeah, absolutely.
As an aside, I think we really ought to mention the Bitcoin next block price. That's insane.
Oh yeah, we just found this out during the break. There, I was trying to send some Bitcoin to somebody, and on the wallet known as Electrum, so you have a little slider bar that lets you select, you know, what block you want to try for. Because for listeners that don't know, when you send a Bitcoin transaction, there's a fee that you have to pay on top of the amount of the transaction as the sender. And back in the old days, the fee was like a cent. And then the network.
Cent, that's too expensive. Bitcoin Cash is the real Bitcoin is a fraction of a penny.
It can be. I've seen Bitcoin Cash as high as 2 cents. So then the Bitcoin network got full of transactions, and the Bitcoin programmers never fixed the problem, which would be an easy fix, but they've never done it. So as the network gets more popular, as the Bitcoin price goes up, the fees just start to skyrocket. We saw this happen back in 2017 when the prices were going up and the fees were going up. And now, just a few moments ago, I looked at what it would cost to send this Bitcoin transaction. It was almost $25 for what they call the next block, which would be the fastest possible processing of that transaction.
Have you guys talked about what the price of Bitcoin has gone up to here in the last
year? It's over $15,000 right now, about $15,500.
I keep saying 1500, but it's 15,000.
No, 1500 would be 2016.
I know, right? That's exactly. I'm still thinking back in the day.
But it has gone up 100% in the last year. So about 9 months ago or whatever, it might have been around $7,000.
So for one Bitcoin, you can do 600 transactions.
It's insane. It's insane. And that's, again, for the next block. Second block, which would be like, I need it fast, but not immediately fast, would be $15 to send second block. This is crazy. This is unusable.
You can do 1,000 transactions per coin. Yeah.
And this is why competition in the marketplace is so great, because we have other cryptocurrencies that are accepted fairly widely, like Bitcoin Cash and Dash. Monero is pretty popular, too, actually, in some places.
No doubt. So
it's just irritating waiting for the rest of the world to do the math.
Yeah, well,
I know, right? People are stupid.
The market is behind, because most people that are getting into Bitcoin, a lot of them are doing it through centralized platforms like Coinbase.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Where it's easy to get into, I mean, as long as you're willing to give up all your privacy.
Right.
But once you get in there, you know, it's relatively easy to buy it and hold on to it. Except the thing is, you're not holding it. Coinbase is holding it. Mm. They have total control over it. And if you never actually, if you just want to buy Bitcoin for the sake of having Bitcoin, then you never have the reason to send it to anyone. So you don't actually see, you don't actually feel the damage that you are going to be dealt when you make these purchases.
I just don't understand people who get into Bitcoin and that's it. Like,
and just sit on it, you mean?
Yeah, I just don't understand that mentality.
It's the mentality of someone who wants to make money.
I know, but like, how do you think you're going to make the money by increasing its value, by spending it, by getting other people to use it?
Well, they're just going to hope it goes up on its own.
They're waiting for
but
us
to do
that.
But that's not how it works.
Well, the evidence is that is how it works. I mean, at least at a glance, you're right that deep down, that's not
there's
how
a lot
it works.
Of people promoting it and getting it to not to increase the value so much, but to get people to use it. But that also does end up having an effect on the price.
Yeah, so. It has to be useful in order for the price to go up.
Right.
And it was useful, and now it's not useful anymore, but
the
price
the
is still going
up. But that's the point that I'm making. It's like you would think that they would be switching from buying into Bitcoin into something else.
But they don't know.
And then promoting that so that they actually have...
they don't know it.
I know. People are stupid.
I would call them ignorant.
Ignorant, yeah. Of this. Ignorant is
they're going to learn as soon as they go.
Stupid too.
As soon as they go and try to send that Bitcoin for the first time, they'll learn. If they're unless they're not paying attention, in which case they're going to wonder why all of a sudden their $25, if they had $100 worth of Bitcoin, so, they tried to send half of it. Now they only have $25 worth left.
I mean, I have to say, like, if you are sending large transactions, it may not be the end of the world, but it's like you still would like. I would not buy into Bitcoin, right? Like, I would accept Bitcoin, but I'm not going to go out and buy Bitcoin. Yeah, I mean, that just seems insane to me.
Sure, I'll accept Bitcoin. I'll have you send it directly to my exchange address so I can turn it into something useful.
That way you don't have to pay another hop to send it to the exchange from your own wallet.
Exactly.
It's a good plan. So, I mean, I love talking about cryptocurrency, but I want to go back to the polls and the protests that have been going on. The crowd chanting, arrest the poll workers, according to the AP, outside of an Arizona polling location in Phoenix, where they're counting the votes.
I'd rather see them arrest the DNC and the RNC.
No doubt. When we start auditing some of these voter rolls, their fraud may actually be exposed, according to a conservative activist, Charlie Kirk, speaking to the crowd in Detroit. Dozens of Trump supporters returned to the streets outside the city's convention center where election workers counted ballots. Stop the steal, protesters chanted. Some carried signs that read, make elections fair again, and we love Trump.
Yeah, remember how Trump said that it was inexcusable that the Republicans and the Democrats wouldn't debate the Libertarian until he became the Republican?
When did he say that?
He said that in like 96.
Oh, wow.
And I think maybe 2000. Huh. But so he's a scumbag and he rigged the election too. So
sure is. But he's our scumbag.
He's not my scumbag.
I know.
My scumbag was Joe Jorgensen. She wasn't even a scumbag.
She's a professional.
She was a cool chick.
Yeah. Stop the steal, they said. The county treasurer in Detroit, Eric Sabri, said he'd closed his office because of threats. In a statement, Sabri said the decision was made. See, that's funny. These bureaucrats can dish out the threats, but they can't take them.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
They're so shocked when somebody threatens to do to them some tiny fraction
of what they do to other people
every day.
In a statement, Sabri said the decision was made, quote, in the interest of safety of taxpayers and our staff because of, quote, credible information, unquote, from the sheriff's office.
Safety
you
of
never
taxpayers.
Get credible information from the police.
How does closing your office protect taxpayers?
It's a load.
I mean, oh my God.
Are people
listening to what this woman is saying?
They would say that because it's the treasurer's office, people are coming there to actually pay taxes. So
whoever goes into the office, into a treasurer's office, I've never gone. Really?
Every time I pay property taxes, I go physically there and cut a check.
Okay. Yeah. So
you don't bring pennies?
I did dollars one time. I never did pennies.
Oh,
it would be prohibitively difficult to bring pennies in. You'd have to get like a pallet full of them and like, lots of heavy equipment to move them around. It would be very difficult to pay property taxes with pennies.
That would be fun.
If you think so, you should try it sometime.
Yeah, that would be great.
It sounds like a huge hassle to me. In Philadelphia, two men were arrested on Thursday night with handguns near the convention center where the vote counting that could decide the White House race was going on. The men, aged 42 and 61, had driven up in a Humvee from Virginia and did not have permits to carry the weapons in Pennsylvania, according to police. A military-style rifle and ammunition were found inside their vehicle. The car had a window sticker for the right-wing conspiracy theory QAnon.
The Second Amendment is a perfectly good gun permit.
Apparently not in some places. Mm-hmm. District Attorney Larry Krasner did not say why the men had come to Philadelphia, but said there were no indications they were part of an extremist group. In Rhode Island, about 100 protesters rallied outside the State Board of Elections
There's
headquarters.
Also no indications you don't have a right to be a member of an extremist group. You can believe whatever you like.
They rallied outside the State Board of Election headquarters demanding a recount in an overwhelmingly Democratic state where Biden won with more than 59% of the vote. Protesters said ballots were illegally dumped in Rhode Island but offered no evidence. State election officials have said they have no evidence of fraud. Quote, we demand a recount in Jesus' name.
Jesus
is going to help this situation out, according to the protest leader.
Jesus slept through the Holocaust. I don't think he's going to worry about this.
This one?
Yeah.
Free talk. Free Talk Live, you dial toll-free, and you can bring up anything you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Chris.
And nobody.
Intercoin's architecture enables programmable coins with a variety of applications. Merchants can add tags like books, food, or clothing to their products, and authorized users can see statistics on how money was spent. Experts can analyze the local economy. Donors and investors can have more confidence. Everyone in the community can have a real-time consumer price index to inform their democratic decision-making and address issues like rising prices or shrinking wages. Intercoin is attempting to regain some of our freedoms that are threatened on the internet and in meatspace. We think that's important here on Free Talk Live, so we accepted $40,000 worth of Intercoin tokens from Intercoin Incorporated for advertising. If you think freedom is important too, check out Intercoin at intercoin.org. You can invest in this project and potentially make big gains or just be involved and perhaps shape its future. It's intercoin.org. As we continue, I said we would have a story about Kim.com, who is the man behind Mega Upload. And Chris, I'm interested in hearing what the latest is from the years-long now extradition hearings that have been going on there. What was all this about? Well, years ago, Mega Upload was a fairly large file-sharing sort of repository. So the idea was you could create an account and they'd give you like, I don't know, some number of gigabytes, 20 gigs, 50 gigs, somewhere in that range. Or you could pay for a lot more, I guess, if you wanted to.
Wasn't it paid for download, not upload?
I never was a paid account at Mega Upload, so I couldn't really tell you.
I think it was a paid to download sort of situation, or speeding up the downloads.
That could be. That could be. But they'd give you an account and you could upload things to it.
I think they would pay people to actually upload.
Okay, that's the first I heard about that, but yeah, I don't know. Regardless, the whole idea behind the site was you could upload large files, say as large as a DVD or something like that to Mega Upload. And as it turned out, there were some people who were using the service for what you would call piracy, what some people would call piracy, others would just call file sharing, but sharing things like movies that might be copyrighted. And Mega Upload at the time didn't have any kind of like encryption going on. So technically they could have been aware of what files were on their system. And so essentially, if I recall correctly, the federal government in the United States managed to apparently actually send their own troops down there, their police officers, U.S. Marshals or whoever the hell it was at the time, and they literally like flew a helicopter over this guy's mansion in New Zealand and rappelled out of a helicopter and went and raided his house over these so-called piracy charges. Now, they couldn't take him away. They had to still turn him over to the New Zealand goons where he bailed out. I mean, he's not sitting in a prison cell this whole time, but he has had this fear hanging over him of being extradited from New Zealand into the United States, all for running a website. So, you know, like I guess it was kind of around the same time they went in on Ross Ulbricht, wasn't it? Wasn't it like a little beforehand? Does your article give the history at all of when
this happened? So it was 2012 was when the raid happened.
So before Ross Ulbricht, because Ross was arrested in October of 2013.
Right? Yeah.
So before Ross Ulbricht was arrested for running a website,
yep.
This guy was arrested, Kim.com, for running a website.
The crazy thing is, it wasn't that different than YouTube. The only thing was effectively YouTube got sold to a huge company, mm-hmm. i.e. Google, and
but did YouTube
Mega Upload didn't.
Did YouTube ever have like full length?
Yeah, they still
movies.
Do, and they can't.
Yeah, there are full length pirated movies on YouTube right now.
Right, as we speak, you can access pirated content on YouTube.
But doesn't YouTube have some sort of system to detect that?
Sure, but it's beyond what's required by law.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's not anything that you really have to do other than respond to
takedown
notices and register an agent in the United States. But he's not in the United States. He's not operating from the United States. And I think they had a agent anyway, but it wasn't something that was required. So the whole idea that he would be charged with copyright infringement, even though he wasn't advocating copyright infringement, which is one of the things that they would often argue, like with file sharing networks, is if you advertise the fact that there is content that you know shouldn't be available on your network, then you are encouraging piracy, and mm-hmm. then they can kind of shut you down, basically, is what the U.S. courts have ruled. But
yeah.
That's not what happened. What they didn't like was the main thing I think they didn't like was the fact that he was paying people to upload content effectively, not specific content, any content that got lots of clicks or lots of views.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, somehow that is contributing to piracy or something, I guess. And even though you don't know what your until you have a report saying that this is copyrighted by somebody else, a takedown notice, you don't know that, right? Like, you don't know that you're contributing to copyright infringement or anything of that nature. So he should theoretically be protected even in the United States. Now, whether or not, we'll see what happens when he gets to the United States. I don't, I'm not holding my breath that he's going to get off, and found not guilty. But at the same time, he seems like he has a fairly decent case as far as, fighting it in the United States.
Well, what's the latest? Because obviously it would be ideal for him to never go to the United
States.
Right,
obviously.
And that's the part where we're still at, is where he's fighting extradition in New Zealand.
Yeah, and so the most recent update is basically he took his case to the Supreme Court. New Zealand Supreme Court heard the case, and they ruled against him.
Oh.
Unfortunately. However, there's a but. He did win one part. And that part was a judicial review. So I'll get into the story. This story is coming to us from torrentfreak.com. And title is Kim.com can be extradited to the United States subject to judicial review. A few minutes ago, a panel of judges at the Supreme Court of New Zealand announced that Kim.com and his former Mega Upload colleagues can indeed be extradited to the United States to face copyright infringement charges. Mm. However, in an unexpected twist, the court has granted the defendants the ability to challenge the decision via a judicial review. Ever since Mega Upload was raided in 2012, the U.S. government has been trying to ship Kim.com and a bunch of his people who worked on Mega Upload with him out of New Zealand, but the path has not been smooth. The process in New Zealand begins when a country, in this case the United States, asks a local court to determine whether the people to whom it is desires access are eligible to be extradited under the Extradition Act of 1999. So that would be New Zealand's. So this is actually a mm-hmm. fairly recent act that was passed in New Zealand. Well,
if you consider 20 years recent.
Well, 20 years in the sense that I suspect he may even be the first person extradited under the act. I mean, New Zealand's population is not that big. And, other factors. So, in basic terms, this means that the U.S. needed to show that the alleged offenses would result in a trial in New Zealand if they had taken place there. And the offenses were crimes in both countries. That's the claim. .com has long argued
against this
assertion.
But they didn't charge him.
They did not charge him in New Zealand. That's correct. But all they have to show is that there is a criminal copyright act in the
New Zealand.
And there was another one for money laundering, and they didn't actually They it turns out they don't have a money laundering act in New Zealand.
More coming
up.
Free talk.
Having taken her father's throne, Sarah Calhoun has fallen out with one of her best allies, and her brother Nathaniel heads into Imperial Philadelphia with a reckless plan. Her uncle Thomas, armed with new powers and new allies, aims to remove Sarah from her throne and from the world of the living. To survive and to gain the strength she needs to fight an impossible war, Sarah must unite the Mound Builder Kings to enact an ancient rite that will propel her beyond mortality. Servant Daughter by T.J. Butler is the newest entry in the Dragon Award-winning Witchy War series from Bane Books at BaneBooks.com.
Free Talk Live, you dial in toll-free, bring up whatever you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE. Kim.com, the founder of Mega Upload, is back in the news as the New Zealand Supreme Court rules that he can be extradited to the United States to face copyright violation charges. And maybe something else. I think you mentioned it was in addition to copyright.
Yeah, so they're also trying
money
to
laundering?
They were trying to get him on money laundering, I believe it was what the crime was in the United States, but there is apparently no money laundering crime in New Zealand.
What?
So,
really?
Yeah, apparently. And so they actually failed on that count,
interesting,
I guess.
But they can still extradite him. However, he has the right to appeal the determination of the Supreme Court.
He has the right to get a judicial review.
Which is basically other judges reviewing the Supreme Court's decision.
I don't know if it's the Supreme Court's, but lower court's decision. So he appealed it to like one court and then they turned him down. And then he appealed it to another court. They turned him down too, I believe. And then it went to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said, no, he does have a right to a judicial review. I'm presuming a lower court, it sounds like, as I understand it. I'm not a legal expert. I'm not a lawyer. So, like, forgive me. And I'm certainly not a lawyer in New Zealand. But, yeah, the extradition hearing, let's see, at this point, after several lower courts determined that the Mega Upload defendants can indeed be extradited to the United States. In June 2019, the New Zealand Supreme Court heard the hugely controversial matter that Mega Upload 4 were hoping that a panel of judges at the country's highest court would see things in a different light and deny the United States the opportunity to try the man on U.S. soil. .com previously predicted that the Supreme Court would return a 3-2 majority in favor of extradition, but what has transpired today does not provide the absolute finality many observers expected. So .com can be extradited, but can challenge this decision. So it's very bizarre.
It's interesting. You could challenge the decision of the Supreme Court.
Right.
I mean, that's good, I guess.
But the Supreme Court's not the one who will actually hear it.
Where does it go?
Lower court. In a decision handed down minutes ago, the Supreme Court confirms that .com and his Mega Upload colleagues can technically be extradited to the United States to face charges of
criminal... I guess it makes sense. Doesn't the water in the toilet bowl swirl the other way?
So...
in New Zealand,
you know what?
Things are backwards.
I think you're right there, but the
and
United
toilet
States
water and government very similar.
Down under.
This actually could happen in the United States too. The higher courts often put or shove the
that's
the
called a
details
remand.
Down to
yeah,
lower
that's
courts.
Called a remand so, where this where mean, the higher courts can remand a certain decision back down.
They make a decision on like some tiny aspect of it, and then they send it down to the lower court. Yeah, remand. I'm not entirely sure of all the technical mm-hmm. word legal technical words. Regardless, but however, the court has also granted the quartet permission to challenge the decision via a judicial review. The issue lies with 2015 decision at the district court, which ruled that .com could be extradited. The Mega Upload founder's legal team argued that the court had made errors in its judgment, but their calls for judicial review fell on deaf ears at the High Court and Court of Appeal. So,
oh, I see. So yeah. they asked for a judicial review of a lower court ruling. And the Supreme Court said you could have that?
Well, the two lower courts denied that mm-hmm. judicial review.
And the Supreme Court said you should be able to have it.
And the Supreme Court said, yes, you do have that right. And so the lower court now has to hear, I don't know which of the two lower courts, but one of them has to hear.
Okay, so now it's starting to make a little more sense. So what you're saying is The question that the Supreme Court heard was whether or not they could get a judicial review. The extradition itself wasn't actually heard.
So, yeah, they said that we're not going to decide on this matter. Well, no, they decide, I guess, on that he can be extradited. But the question of whether or not, I guess, he committed copyright infringement, I guess, is for the lower court to decide.
It's all very obtuse.
Yeah, it is. And it's not entirely clear in the story either. So it's, you know, it's kind of, yeah. let's see here. So the Supreme Court said that those higher courts were wrong to determine that .com. And they're talking about not the lowest court, but the high, I think they called it the high court and some other court. Not the lowest court.
By the way, Kim.com on his Twitter, which is twitter.com/KIMDOTCOM, Kim.com, on October 27th, he said the destruction of Mega Upload was a, quote, contract prosecution, unquote, by Joe Biden for his Hollywood donors. Over 200 million users lost their files. Thanks to new leaks, witnesses, and evidence, you can now see the corruption of Joe Biden. And then he releases a white paper all about what happened back then and how Joe Biden and his campaign donors was, you know, he was just doing the dirty work for them.
Joe Biden is not an honorable man. People made a mistake with electing him.
Well, they made a mistake corrupt. Who didn't they make a mistake electing?
I don't have an answer to you.
No. They were all mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's see. The court said that those higher courts were wrong to determine that .com's application for judicial review was, and this is the crazy thing, they called it an abuse of process. You know, you really have to wonder, though, like, if they're going to call it an abuse of process, how can he possibly get a fair, you know, a fair hearing at one of these courts if they both call it an abuse of process? Mm-hmm. So even if they order to give him an
Same court that smacked him down now has to hear the case.
Right. Like, this is not looking good for him as far as extradition is concerned.
It's sad.
Yeah, this means that yet more legal arguments will have to be heard. If .com and its colleagues fail,
they're going to need to build a whole new wing to hold all these guys that run websites.
Right?
You got Ross Ulbricht. You got the guys from Backpage.com. I think they got prosecuted successfully, didn't they not? And then also now Kim.com.
Did they get successfully prosecuted? Because I
think they were in California. I don't know if they were they federal or
they did go to the there was a federal case.
Was there?
I don't know. I'm not 100% sure what the outcome of the federal case is at this point.
Me neither.
I'm not sure if it actually has been. They won lower. They won at the state courts.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Oh wow! It looks like Backpage CEO pleads guilty in three states.
Jeez.
That's sad because by all accounts, he did everything he could to cooperate with law enforcement actual crime.
They throw enough cases at you and you run out of money to defend yourself. Right. I mean, this is just standard operating procedure of governments everywhere.
Yeah. .com at least has some money. They, for whatever reason, weren't able to seize everything he has, so he's still able to pay lawyers after almost a decade.
Yeah.
I mean, this was 2012 when he got raided.
He's fighting it not only in New Zealand, but he's also fighting in the United States. He has U.S. lawyers both on a civil case and a criminal case in the United States, as well as in New Zealand. So the guy's clearly got some money.
Yeah, he does.
So
he was living in a mansion.
Yeah,
at the time the raid happened.
Yeah, but and you know what else probably helps his case is that he's actually got experience with the criminal justice system, so he has an idea of what the processes are, as opposed to somebody who has never dealt with the system before.
Right.
That's going to be more afraid. I don't know. I think he may have spent some time in jail and everything. Like, he's got a history. I don't remember, all the details of it off the top of my head, but he's definitely got a criminal history.
Right. So. Is there more that we need to know about this?
That's a good question. So the money laundering is kind of an interesting aspect of it too here. So he won't be eligible to be surrendered in respect of money laundering since there is no matching New Zealand offense.
But that won't matter, right? I mean, because
it won't matter because they can still get him on the copyright grounds. Right.
All they want is his body. They want him.
Right.
And so if New Zealand is like this technical decision of, well, we won't surrender him based on the money laundering, but we will surrender him based on the copyright, that's not going to mean that the U.S. government has to drop the money laundering charges.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically his defense. Right, exactly. And, you know, his defense has basically been that he should be protected under safe harbor copyright arguments. But they, you know, the court basically said they won't accept that as, you know, sufficient to not extradite him. But what the crazy thing about this is, like, if you get extradited on copyright, and yeah, there is a similar law in New Zealand, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's identical to the one in the United States. So he would then have to somehow defend himself in U.S. courts against the DMCA, which requires a copyright agent. But if that's not required in New Zealand, he's guilty of a crime in the United States, even though he was never in the United States.
Well, that's how it is. The U.S. jurisdiction extends globally, apparently.
They claim to own the world.
It's so disturbing. It's like, how do you protect yourself from other jurisdictions? Because you can't possibly comply with every law around the world.
Well, it's the U.S. one that's the most concerning.
It's true.
Because they're the ones who's...
Yeah, but other governments are gonna decide that,
yeah, Europe.
That, you know, they're going to get jealous. We don't get to force our laws on people who are...
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got the Matrix server. You go on over to chat with our Free Talk Live listeners over at chat.lrn.fm, and you'll get the instructions step-by-step on how to get on the Matrix server. It's pretty easy. You just have to follow the instructions at chat.lrn.fm. We've been talking about Kim.com, the founder of Mega Upload. And, you know, it's also worth mentioning there were, I think, at least three or four other guys that he worked with who also got arrested. All of them.
They're all being extradited effectively together, except for one who I think basically just surrendered right away, came to the United States.
Oh, wow.
And I think...
So you got a snitch or something like that?
A year in jail or something like that, I think, yeah.
Probably because he agreed to testify.
With a guilty plea of some kind.
So, Kim.com, he's worth following. He's got an interesting Twitter account. He always posts stuff. He's frequently posting updates about his case, and also he's pro-crypto. So, back in 2016, he told people to buy Bitcoin. He said, trust me, buy Bitcoin when it's cheap. And then just recently he posted again. He said, did you trust me? And then he cited his old quote from 2016 because the prices have gone up, I mean, significantly since that time. And so he's actually calling out Joe Biden in a video post here. Now, I didn't have a chance to watch this whole thing, so hopefully he doesn't get profane towards the end of it. But this is a 2-minute clip that he posted to his Twitter with him calling out the corruption of Joe Biden. Because remember, Joe Biden was the vice president at the time when Kim.com was raided.
Right, that's true.
And so he was actually behind this, according to Kim.com.
Uh-huh. Well, Hollywood's run by pedophiles, and they would love Biden.
So here you go.
Hello, everyone. This is Kim.com. Today, with a message to the New Zealand government and the authorities that destroyed Mega Upload and raided my home. Have a look at Joe Biden today. The former vice president who personally oversaw the destruction of my business, who installed his own lawyer in the DOJ to be a US attorney, to bring a case against me. This very same person has now evidence mounting about his corruption, his pay-for-play dealings with his donors. This is the man who brought shame on New Zealand because of all the illegal things that New Zealand has done to me in response to Joe Biden's request. The judiciary, the spy agencies, the New Zealand police, the corrupt former national government, all in cahoots with one of the biggest criminals in politics, Joe Biden. I would advise you to be very careful about how you are going to proceed now that Joe Biden is going to face serious scrutiny for all his corrupt dealings. This is a good time to reflect and observe what's happening in the United States. I'm still here. and I'm happy to remain here. All the best.
I do wish him the best. And I hope that he is able to stay there in New Zealand. And I hope that Julian Assange is also not extradited from the UK, where he has been held now for years.
Now, I think they ruled in the UK that he could be extradited here.
Did
they? I believe so, yeah.
Let's get a Julian Assange update here, because, yeah, we haven't talked about it.
See what the latest news is, but I'm pretty sure they did rule here not that long ago.
Let's see. Mueller investigated Julian Assange. Assange lawyer says Trump offered a deal to avoid extradition. That was a month ago. 4 days ago, RT reports prison friend of Julian Assange commits suicide to avoid deportation. And 6 days ago, media silence on Assange aids Trump. So not a whole lot as far as breaking news. I guess, look, the Daily Mail reported a week ago Julian Assange learns U.S. extradition fate over hacking on January 4th. So that's the next big day. It's going to be January 4th. Where he will be, according to this report, he will find out whether he will be extradited to the United States to face charges that could see him jailed for 175 years. He's facing he's 49 years old now. He spent the last decade of his life, you know, basically behind bars. He was in the Ecuadorian embassy for 6 or 7 years or something like
that. Yeah, it was a long time.
Faces 18 charges, including a plot to hack computers and conspiracy to obtain and disclose national defense information. He is said to have plotted with defense analyst Chelsea Manning.
To put it more reasonably, to expose war crimes by the government.
Correct. And it wasn't he who hacked any computers. He was simply helping Chelsea Manning crack a password.
Yeah, I mean, calling it crack a password, just I find it kind of humorous, because it was basically just like a hash or something like that of something or other, and I don't know, it was weak to call it a key, it's just a hash too. Well, no, I know, but it was so weak to call that cracking. I'm sorry, but like, maybe it was technically somehow illegal, but
how can it be illegal if he's not based in the United States?
Well, the thing is,
we're right back to this whole thing where
he didn't actually like attack a server with like random passwords.
Chelsea got the file and sent it to him.
Right. And so he basically looked up, it was like looking up the password based on a hash or something like that.
He helped Chelsea with whatever she needed
to
help
to find
doing.
Out what the password would be based on the hash or something
but
of that nature.
But he was not within the supposed geographic landmass of the United States at the time. He did not breach any security
within
the United States government.
Right.
But yet,
it's like his charge is like conspiracy to assist hacking or something like that. It was so ridiculous.
Yeah,
I mean, it's such a stretch to say that he did, you know, anything of that nature.
Conspiracy to obtain and disclose national defense information and a hacking charge of some sort, or multiple hacking charges.
Might as well be mopery with intent to gawk.
District Judge Vanessa Baretzer has reserved judgment for hearing dozens of witnesses called by Assange's legal team in a bid to persuade her to block his extradition. Appearing via video link from the Belmarsh prison, Assange spoke to confirm his name and date of birth. Edward Fitzgerald, the attorney for Assange, said, quote, "This is just a caller over. We're in contact with Judge Baretzer about the timetable. I think she's dealing with that. On behalf of Mr. Assange, there are no submissions." So they don't have anything to say at this point. They've made their argument, and the final judgment to come down in just under 2 months' time on January 4th. So that's where we're at with that. Sad news. And of course, in other related news, I guess, since we're going through the list here, Edward Snowden recently has applied for Russian citizenship, from what I understand. So it sounds like he's planning
on
staying.
Right. It is certainly interesting, but not terribly surprising, because it's usually a process for all that stuff to happen. And he's gone through the processes as we kind of would have expected him to.
Well, and he doesn't feel like leaving, obviously, right?
Well, obviously, because if he leaves, he's going to be thrown in jail. Who would want to be thrown in a jail cell? No, you're going to go through the processes in the country that you're
The chance of him being thrown in jail increases if he leaves Russia. I mean, he may not be, but he could be.
And if he wants to stay there, he needs to, or he would benefit from at least a minimum going through their processes to get Russian citizenship, so.
So there's that. And, of course, Ross Ulbricht still in a prison cell. Now, you have to wonder, What is Trump going to do if he loses this election? It's looking like it's going to go to Biden right now. Is Trump going to start to stir things up on the way out the door? I suspect he will. He's going to want to be remembered. He's going to I hope that he follows through on his promise to withdraw the troops from Afghanistan. But what else might he do? Who might he pardon?
Oh, that would be interesting. What,
you know, if Trump's going to throw the equivalent of a temper tantrum on the way out the door and try to make as much of a mess as he possibly can, what will that look like? That
maybe would be, he could tell us the truth about Kennedy.
That would be really interesting if he started pardoning like everybody like in jail. That was
that seems unlikely, but it would be interesting.
Yeah, but like, I mean, think about it. Like, I mean, he has the power, right?
Right. So,
I mean,
what could he do? What
he
are some of the things?
Create some real messy situations. It's like you can't you can't retry them. Yeah. You can't put them back in jail after you.
Maybe he'll really drain the swamp, like in the last 2 months. I know it's a silly thing to say, right? But I don't want to be too optimistic about it. But
I'm doubtful he'll do much. But
yeah, I'm not very optimistic. But then again, he is Trump, and what will he do? He'll do something.
I don't know. His followers are massing outside the state houses, so he could do something really meaningful, like end the federal government.
Initiate a takeover.
How would he do that? Tell his followers to charge.
He's already in
They've
power.
They've got all the guns.
Replace the people. Replace the people
cops
in power
are
right
mostly
now.
On their side.
A coup? You talking about a coup?
Yeah. A coup.
More coming up here
Let's
in moments. You can share your thoughts with us on Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. The president himself initiating his
I
own
think that
coup?
Would be amazing.
That'd be a new one.
Yeah.
Remember when you first heard about Bitcoin? How long did it take you to realize this little project would soon change the world? Do you kind of wish you had gotten involved sooner? Well, now is your chance to be part of the next revolution in money. Intercoin is working to finally make crypto go mainstream. It's designed to be scalable enough to support everyday payments and even elections without the state. Bitcoin was originally supposed to be a peer-to-peer cash system, the way we would all pay one another without having to trust any third party. But instead, over time, it mostly became a store of value. That's because every 10 minutes, the Bitcoin network must put all transactions into a block, and that block can only hold so much. If crypto is to become mainstream, for everyone to use it in everyday payments, we need a new architecture, one that's as secure as Bitcoin while being far more scalable. Check out intercoin.org to find out more, and maybe pick up some of those coins for yourself.
Free Talk Live. We're kicking off the third hour of the program. As always, you're invited. If you want to join us here, the toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Chris.
And nobody.
So, in other news, of course, you're welcome to bring up anything you want. Simi Valley customers could be targeted by businesses if they don't wear face masks. According to CBS in Los Angeles, Simi Valley businesses whose customers refuse to wear a face mask can now call the police for help in removing those persons from their property. Face masks.
You could always call police for help in removing anybody from your property that you didn't want there, regardless of reason.
You're referring to no trespass laws.
Well, yeah, telling somebody to leave, if you tell them to leave and they won't leave, then, yeah, they're trespassing and you can have them removed.
Face masks are required by the state in order to comply with business reopening guidelines to reduce the spread, they say, of COVID-19. However, quote, businesses in Simi Valley who encounter individuals who will not adhere to store policies requiring face coverings may report those individuals for removal by contacting the Simi Valley Police Department, according to the city spokes bureaucrat, Samantha Argbright. California requires face coverings in several high-risk situations, such as being inside or in line to enter.
Being inside, that's so terrifying.
I love how they say that's high risk. Yeah. Like, okay, I mean, I understand maybe if, like, you know somebody's infected and, I don't know, and they're aging or something, like, then high risk, I understand. But, like, just being inside, I don't know about that. I don't know if that's high risk.
or in line to enter any indoor public spaces, in healthcare settings, waiting or riding on public transportation or a rideshare service, or working with the public, or any space visited by members of the public, or where food is prepared. So pretty much everywhere. Masks are also required outside when a physical distance of 6 feet cannot be maintained from other people. So actually, Massachusetts is now worse than California, because Massachusetts, as of, I think, yesterday, has now mandated that anyone outdoors has to wear masks, even if they are farther than six feet away.
Hold on. All right. So I don't know how true this is, but I've heard that they now have a 10 p.m. curfew. I think it was in Mass. Has anybody else heard of this?
That's correct.
Yeah, because viruses are night owls.
What on earth?
You know? It's called an advisory. It's called an advisory.
Oh, so yeah, you're advised. Called an advisory. You're advised. And what happens? And what happens when I violate this advisory?
Sorry, guys, you were both talking at the same time.
Sorry. What happens when I, you know, when I violate this advisory? Do they throw me in jail?
Well, that's a good question. And it's not real clear. The way the government's language is mixed, it's mixed with terms like advisory, but also curfew. It's mixed with terms like, you know, that essentially they sound like mandates, but they're also guidance. They're requirements, but they're not. And it's like, what does it actually mean?
And then they mix it up with lies and make it all taste good.
Yeah, it's all very hard to follow. City officials say they want to give business owners the option so they and their other customers will feel safe while shopping. If a police officer is called, the officer will escort.
I would not feel safe while shopping there. Maybe they should let people make their own choices, and then everybody can go where they feel safe.
So this, apparently nobody, is some sort of middle ground between a trespass and nothing whatsoever. So, you know, as you're pointing out, yes, if somebody's on your property and you tell them to leave and they don't, then you can call the police and they will no trespass them. They'll possibly arrest them for that. Here it says if a police officer is called by the business for somebody not wearing a mask, the officer is instructed to escort the unwilling customer off the property without issuing them a citation.
Oh, okay. So it's less than trespass.
Correct.
Okay.
So, interesting.
At least that's what they're saying.
I guess that's better.
The deputy city manager says this, quote, "As you would with anyone who would be belligerent or difficult inside your store, certainly we don't want to have to arrest people, and we certainly don't want to have to escort people from businesses, but obviously the police will do what they have within their powers to do to ensure they have a safe environment and that businesses and customers feel comfortable."
And to make sure that those of us who are not masky never feel safe and never feel comfortable.
Yeah, who was it that was saying today that they felt like, was it one of our callers? Yeah, it was Gene, the Christian anarchist, I think. He said he feels like he's in the Matrix and that at any moment, any one of these customers will turn into Agent Smith or one of the agents. It is creepy, man, being around all those people with masks on. It's very inhuman. It's very strange. It's a very strange feeling because, you know, as a human, being able to see other people's faces and seeing people smile at you is a reassurance that you're in a place with people who are good people who, you know, are, you know, you don't know them, right? But they're smiling, and that's a good feeling. It's something that at some internal level that we all look for or that we all feel good about. And by taking away people's faces from them, you take away that silent communication that is so beneficial to having a polite society.
Mm. Grateful Dead, you know, warned us they'd steal our faces right off our heads.
It does feel like kind of omniscient of
omniscience? No, well, I'm not sure what you're trying to say.
You're not trying to say omniscience.
What's the word? What are you trying to communicate?
Like just very bizarre feeling like there's somebody in power and controlling everything, I think is kind of the word I'm looking for. But anyway, so it's just so weird when I'm in a store and every single person is wearing a mask, right?
Yep.
Like it wouldn't feel weird, I think, if some people weren't wearing masks, but the fact that every single person.
It's worse than it has been.
Yeah. And I've only encountered that, I think, once, probably. But
you've only encountered it where it's every single person?
I've only encountered it once where I walked into a store where every single
person. That's how it is almost all the time now.
I see it Yeah, I mean, I've seen
it's rare that there's one other person. Every now and then, there's one other guy that's walking
around. I think
it depends
on the store, too, because there's definitely stores I've been into where not everybody's been wearing a mask, but most people have been wearing masks. But there's still that, like, that one person you'll bump into in the store that isn't wearing a mask also has been my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I've been in stores where not a single person wasn't wearing a mask, that's what's so creepy.
Let's go to Dave in New Hampshire. Is this Dave Ridley?
Oh, yeah.
So this is something that we're going to disagree about, Dave. I saw you on a recent episode. I know you were calling in for some other reason, but since we're talking about masks, you do RidleyReport.com. You do a lot of great pro-liberty broadcasting on YouTube and reporting on various news. And as you've been confronting politicians outside the Winchester, New Hampshire City Hall or Town Hall, you have been masked up, and you had a little editorial piece the other day, I think it was sometime last week, where you said you thought that libertarians should be wearing masks more often than the government requires. Is that still your belief?
What's your why? What's the opinion on that?
I don't want to say necessarily for sure what other people should do, but I think there's a case to be made for outperforming the bureaucrats when it comes to being safer than them and being better.
Why is being safe being better?
If you're not sick, why would a mask make you safer?
Well, I'm not claiming to know a great deal about the science, and that's the whole point. I don't know.
Well, then why would you go all in on something you don't know much about?
Because it is, I guess you could call it an innocent until proven guilty approach. The government is innocent of lying about masks until proven guilty.
But you know, government's
been paying attention. They've been proving guilty every single year that every single thing they say.
Why would you believe them about this?
Well, because I believe the scientists who are not affiliated with the government. Yeah. Like
but there's a ton of scientists who've...
Am I allowed to answer
Yeah, absolutely. But there's a ton of scientists who have spoken out against these scientists that you're talking about. So, I mean, as you know, science doesn't agree.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm playing it safe. Wearing a mask is not going to hurt anyone else, so I'm wearing a mask.
Yeah, I'm kind of with him on the. I wish there was a little bit more pushback within the community in regards to everybody wearing a mask. Just because I don't think there is one right answer. My objection has always been the government basically forcing stuff down our throats.
All right, hang on, Dave. We'll bring you back here. I know you were calling about something else, but the toll free number is, if you want to join us, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. I don't think you should trust any scientist that's getting a government paycheck. More coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. You dial in toll free and bring up what you want here. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. It's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms at discord.lrn. Oops. Damn it. I was saying the Discord thing again. We don't have Discord anymore. They are long gone.
Hail Discordia.
Yeah. Oh. I was doing pretty good, but no, we have Matrix, and you can call in on that, and it sounds just as good as Discord did. You can go to our Matrix chat server at chat.lrn.fm, and you can get signed up there. It's Ian, Chris, and nobody in the studio. By the way, I want to thank Bitcoin.com for being a longtime sponsor here on Free Talk Live. We're going to be talking more, I think, about what's going on with Bitcoin Cash coming up here in the next 9 days, because there's a big schism that is likely to happen with Bitcoin Cash, and you're going to need to know what to do about that. This is one of those things that happens from time to time in the world of cryptocurrency, where one crypto will all of a sudden become two cryptos, and we can tell you more about that as time goes on. But for right now, go and learn the basics about Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash over at Bitcoin.com. You can also follow the latest news headlines on their news site, which is news.bitcoin.com. And we go to Dave Ridley. He's in New Hampshire. Dave, what was on your mind tonight?
Yeah, so I have a Rebel of the Week award, a New Hampshire Rebel of the Week award to award to somebody. You may have already heard about this, and just stop me if you have, and I'll talk about something else. But I think this is from MSN.com or something. It says, quote, a New Hampshire woman accused of drug possession and stalking brazenly pretended to be a prosecutor and dropped her own charges, unquote.
Nice.
Yeah, I heard the headline, but I don't think we covered it on the air here on Free Talk Live. So how did she do this? Did she cook up some paperwork that looked really official and send it to the jail or something? What happened?
Yeah, so apparently she got into the court's electronic system. It says that she got, that's what it says, to file documents that would help drop the charges in three separate cases, according to the union leader. Okay, so that's according to the union leader.
She hacked into the government's systems?
Well, it doesn't make clear in the article whether she hacked in remotely or whether she was just sitting there. You know, like in federal court in New Hampshire, they have these computers you can walk up to. Maybe she was at a computer like that.
It would be funny if she just faxed over like the documents and they added it to the system. And I wouldn't put it past the government to do something like that.
There have been stories like that. I don't know if that was
not
New Hampshire.
Abnormal for them to use fax machines still.
Yes. Yeah, there was a story, and I don't remember where it happened, but somebody was in jail and they got a fax from a judge that said that this person was ordered to be released, and it wasn't the judge who actually faxed that. It was somebody, you know, one of their associates or something like that who did that. And they actually did release the person until later on. Then they found out that, whoops, they weren't supposed to do that.
Yeah, I remember sitting in a jail cell one time, and you could, from where I was, it was in the basement of one of the court buildings. And from where I was, I could look through a window, and I could see the password to the computer on a sticky note on the side of the monitor.
That's hilarious.
I love that stuff.
So you just needed to communicate that password to somebody outside the prison, and boom, you're released.
Yeah, except...
probably not that easy.
I don't think that machine had that ability.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it had the right permissions for it.
All right, Dave, anything else you want to share tonight?
That is all.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate hearing from
Dave,
you.
Dave, I did want to say that, you know, you have every right to dress whatever way makes you feel comfortable.
Yep, that's true. You do.
You guys sound like you're saying appreciate it's okay to be trans.
Well, that's true too. Well, it's okay.
Oh no. I'm not saying that it's not okay to be trans.
Anything wrong with
I'm
that.
Just saying it's that's what it sounds like.
Dave is not trans that we know
no.
of.
That we I'm know aware of anyway. Yeah, either. But.
And maybe he's got lipstick on under that mask now. I don't know.
I don't think wearing lipstick makes you trans.
Yeah, I don't think
no?
so either.
I mean, it's part of it, right? Like, I mean, if you're wearing lipstick, you're more likely to be trans. I mean, I don't see a lot
of
straight
guys.
I
guess it would be part of being trans, but I don't know that.
I don't see a lot of non-trans or cis or whatever straight guys wearing lipstick. Do you?
I mean,
unless it's a Halloween costume.
I mean, maybe a Halloween costume.
I grew up in Ann Arbor. I've seen everything twice.
I could see that being a fad with guys. I mean, they like guys wear earrings now. Like, I mean, and not just like you know,
not just the gay guys.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, exactly.
Well, even in the 80s, it was like if you had your left ear pierced, you were straight. If you had your right ear pierced, you were gay. And if you had your, I don't know if people with bi people generally had both ears pierced.
I don't know.
So can you imagine being a manager or, you know, owner of a business and actually calling the police on one of your customers for not wearing a mask? That's what they're talking about in California, where Susan Cooper, manager at Dr. Conkey's Candy and Coffee, says she's had to ask a few customers to put on a mask, but she hasn't had a major problem. Cooper is glad she'll have the option to call police because she expects to see more shoppers coming into her store during the holidays. She says, quote, helpful for them to take it down a notch and help the situation instead of us having to do that. Because, oh yeah, it's always taking it down a notch when you call the police. That doesn't ever cause any problems with escalation of conflict.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, I can certainly, I mean, I wouldn't choose the police. I can certainly, if somebody refused to leave my place of business for any reason, I can certainly see getting help to remove him.
Mm-hmm.
I would not get that help from the police. That's just way too, you know, it's a very unpredictable weapon.
Yeah, but, they're dangerous.
Yeah.
It's like when you pull the fire alarm, you don't know if the firemen are going to show up and destroy the place as they put out the fire or just put out the fire, right?
Yeah.
You don't know. The police, of course, they may shoot your dog, they may shoot your employees, they may just, you know, kill your customer. I mean, that could happen.
Cops are like a box of chocolates. Kill your dog.
It's so amazing that, like just to think as, like, a business owner that you would be kicking, you'd want to kick out paying customers.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like
it's sick.
Put some stuff.
There's things I've thrown some paying customers out of my business. I've thrown them out of my cab. I've thrown them out of my house when I was selling weed. Irritate me and you're gone.
There's no doubt there's crazy customers that I would understand doing it, but like if they're good paying customers and the only thing they won't do is put a mask on, it's like, you know, wear better, more protective gear, you know, put up more stuff to keep your business going, because like businesses are going under, right? Like, why
was an
you
idea?
I've actually thrown somebody out of a business for refusing to take a mask off.
Here's an idea. Why don't you let your other customers stay away from that person? You know, if they're so afraid, then just, hey, there's a guy over there. He doesn't have a mask on. Yeah, you don't have to get close to him.
You're not looking at it. You're looking at it from a perspective, you know, from your perspective, as opposed to the other side's perspective.
I mean, that's right. This perspective of fear. I'm not looking at it from that perspective.
So from that perspective, like, it still, to me, would make more sense to behave differently than calling the police on somebody.
I'm not saying call the police on somebody.
It seems like it's contradictory to your own interests.
I am not saying call the police on somebody. I'm saying let your other customers decide how to handle the situation. If they're afraid of somebody without a mask on, let them stay away from that person.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Maybe the person operating the business is scared. Some people are.
That's true.
That's what I'm presuming is the case, because otherwise it wouldn't make any sense.
855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've got time for you if you want to join us here. Got some big news in the area of psychedelic mushrooms. Psilocybin therapy. Four times more effective and antidepressants. We'll tell you.
What if the United States and the Soviet Union had fought on land, sea, air, and the astral plane, struggled for dominion across parallel dimensions or on the surface of the moon? What wonders would have been unveiled? What terrors would have haunted mankind from those dark and dismal dimensions? Come closer, peer through a glass darkly, and discover the horrifying alternative visions of World War III from some of today's greatest minds in science fiction, fantasy, and horror. Weird World War III. Available now from Bain Books at BaneBooks.com.
Free Talk Live. You bring up anything you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. You can join us online at freetalklive.com, and you can download archives there that go back all the way to 2006. So that's a lot of shows that you could listen to in theory. Probably more than you possibly could actually listen to in any decent amount of time. But they're all free, so enjoy them over at freetalklive.com. Tonight, it's Ian.
And Chris.
And nobody.
So we're going to continue with more of your calls and thoughts, but then coming up, the latest on psilocybin, the active chemical in psychedelic mushrooms. Turns out there's some more studies that have been done, and there's a new one looking at psilocybin-assisted psychotherapy to treat major depression. And
isn't it neat how it turns out that all the drugs that they were fighting the war on drugs against are actually better than Big Pharma's solutions for something? Mm-hmm. It's almost like they just had the government protecting their turf against superior competitors.
It sure does seem that way, and we'll talk more about it here. It's interesting, the more we learn about the illegal drugs out there, the more we find out they're actually beneficial. And this is following in the footsteps of Oregon, that actually voted this week to not only decriminalize small amounts of all drugs for personal use, a la Portugal, what Portugal did back in the year, I think, 2000, but also Oregon voters also legalized psilocybic mushrooms for therapeutic purposes, which is exactly what we're going to discuss here. But first, we go to Vernon in Louisiana, listening online. Go ahead, Vernon.
So I listen all the time, and not 100% like other people, but I do listen a lot. And I feel like the show might be turning into Mask Talk Live, and I wanted to remind myself why why you all talk about it so much, and why it's so...
So much. We talked about it once tonight.
Yeah, it is a lot, though.
You do talk about it a lot. And it seems to really bother you all.
Yeah, it bothers the crap out of me.
I'm actually kind of sick of it.
Well, exactly. That's why I'm trying to call. So the biggest thing I wanted to ask, I just wanted to remind myself of why you all are so against it. If a private business, is enforcing them, you know, the customer wearing a mask, you all do not like that because the government is who initiated that, correct?
For me, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. The government is definitely forcing private businesses to set policies that they otherwise might not set.
You know, I think there's a distinguish, though, between your perspective on it and my perspective. I'm just concerned about the government enforcing this and or forcing businesses to enforce this. And I think you're concerned about that and just the mask in general.
Well, I mean, I'm generally against the idea of masks because I think it dehumanizes people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, from that perspective, yeah, I think it's very concerning. But from a business perspective, obviously you can set whatever rules you want for your business, but what's not clear during this situation is which businesses would have set these rules if they weren't being coerced.
Absolutely.
And that's what's infuriating to me is I mean, if some businesses wanted to demand that everybody wear masks, that would be absolutely fine with me, so long as those that didn't feel that way were free to welcome me.
Definitely.
But this reminds me of when they decided that smokers weren't human anymore and we didn't get to go to restaurants. And basically, it's kind of like a divorce where your wife says, well, we're breaking up and I think I've got a very fair division of property for us. I get everything and you get nothing.
And well, I thank you all for clarifying that. And maybe I and other listeners need to start calling in and changing the topic.
Yeah, definitely.
Please.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you don't like talking about masks, then you probably shouldn't call in and ask about masks.
Well,
I'm just saying.
That's kind of funny.
I think he wanted to meditate.
Why you all were so against this. Hey, thank you. Have a good night.
So wait, okay.
Yeah, peace.
I guess that's all he had.
I think he was trying to provide feedback is what he was doing.
Yeah. And,
yeah. I don't think it was terrible.
I'm bored of the mask thing. I'm bored of everything.
I mean, I'd rather talk about other things, but they literally keep shoving this down our throats and literally in our faces.
Yeah.
It's a huge
there's
problem.
That.
Yeah. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. Massachusetts just mandated masks outdoors, even if you're far away from people.
Mm. Well, maybe the Democrats will chill out when the elections are.
What's the evidence
we'll
for
see.
That? This is coming from a lot of Democrats.
Biden
has proposed a national mask mandate.
They wanted to shut down the economy to make people miserable with Trump in office. Maybe if they get Trump out of office, they'll chill out on it.
Yeah, but whether or not
the one thing I see that's positive,
or maybe we'll go to war. That'll relieve my boredom.
The one thing that I see as positive about this is it's forcing people who are not pro-state to migrate to New Hampshire. Like, that's the
what
one pro thing. Like people are using this. I mean, they're out of work already anyway because their either businesses have been shut down or their jobs they've lost their jobs. So they have no more excuse not to move to New Hampshire, right? They had excuses before. But people don't have any excuse anymore. And they are looking to move. And people are coming to New Hampshire and they are visiting and they are moving, in fact. And next week, we're going to have half a dozen people probably come to Keene just to check it out and tour New Hampshire to see if they can make it work for them.
Excellent. Nick Shankin, who we had on as a guest during Forkfest,
that's another good
example. He's looking to make a move up here.
Right.
He lives in Philly, and he's a gay guy in like the gay section of Philly, right? Like he lives among a bunch of liberals, and these were his friends who are now no longer his friends. His friends, so-called friends, have turned on him because he doesn't want to wear a mask.
Yeah,
you know,
he's not the only one that I've heard this happen to. And just like I know Bob has some friends who are certainly not in agreement with him, and he feels like he doesn't have any friends anymore.
He's
because,
a pariah.
Yeah, because he's a pariah, and it's and it's not like he's not the only one. I've also heard this from at least a dozen other people, if not more, and a lot of them are this is the reason they were going to come to New Hampshire.
Exactly. So look, I mean, I would love to talk about other things, but this is something that is affecting a lot of people's lives right now. I understand there's supposedly some rural areas where this isn't a problem, where you can go into bars and no one's wearing a mask, and you can go to convenience stores and no one's wearing a mask. But here in New Hampshire and in a lot of states, there are a lot of rules that have been shoved down people's throats. You got cities like Nashua, New Hampshire now, where in the business, they're being told you are not to serve a person who is wearing or is rather not wearing a mask. Meaning if you want to get groceries, if you want to feed yourself, you either have to leave the city limits or you have to put on this mask and possibly put your health in danger by putting a mask on.
New Hampshire is kind of interesting because this is kind of going city by city in New Hampshire because there hasn't been a statewide
There is a statewide requirement. If you have an event of over 100 people, they are demanding that it have masks.
But then they curtailed some of that too, so it's not what it was. So it's very bizarre. It's very like a lot of the city ordinances, like
the city ordinances are more harsh.
You're talking about a very harsh city ordinance in Nashua, which we don't have in Keene.
That's correct.
And it's even less bad in some other areas of New Hampshire.
Yeah, some don't have any ordinance.
And that's the thing. Like in some respects, it's like it's easy to attack the cities and the state, but at the same time it's like thinking about like what's happening surrounding New Hampshire, like in Mass, it's even worse. And
or
it's hard
California
to believe.
Where the governor
or New York,
where they're telling people in California that if you want to have Thanksgiving dinner you have to have it outdoors, you can only have three households get together, and the three household members have to be separated from one another by at least 6 feet on all sides, so a 6 foot radius around each party or whatever, that they're only allowed to go indoors to go to the bathroom. The bathroom must be sanitized frequently. I mean, I'm just remembering these from off the top of my head. It's crazy. You have to use disposable dishes. The whole thing is absolutely insane. They're telling people they have to lower their mask while they eat or like when they're putting food in their mouth and then raise the mask again after that. The level of micromanagement that is going on over people's lives. How somebody can just dismiss this as no problem is, and I don't know if that's what Vernon was saying. Maybe he's just tired of it.
No, he's just tired of it.
And I am too. I am too. But they're not. They just keep on coming with these rules.
He's tired of hearing about it, whether or not it's happening or not.
We're going to talk about it. As long as it's infringing on people's liberty, it's going to get talked about on this show. If you don't like it, go somewhere else. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything you want in these remaining moments. We have time for you. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And join us on our chat server over at chat.lrn.fm. In the studio tonight, Ian.
Chris.
Nobody.
Don't forget, you can join us online, freetalklive.com. Lots of features there. And the AMP program, where I want to say thanks to Pizza Cake Man, who is a Free Talk Live Silver amplifier. Pizza Cake Man contributing $5 a month to the AMP program. It helps us get Free Talk Live on more radio stations around the country. And if that's something that is valuable to you, then please head over to amp.freetalklive.com, as Pizza Cake Man has done, and it's $5 a month. You can use your credit card, debit card, you can use PayPal, or if you're crazy, Bitcoin BTC. We will take that from you.
Pay that $25 fee. One more time.
You might want to
in for BCH.
If your wallet supports it, you might want to lower that fee. It'll probably still get delivered, just there. Not right away.
But even the lower
Maybe
fees are crazy.
Yeah.
So we can continue here. I wanted to get into this story since I got you on the show tonight, Nobody. You know a thing or two about psilocybin, as I do as well.
Oh, it's true.
And NewAtlas.com reporting that there's a new study presenting the first published data from preliminary human trials investigating the effect of psilocybin-assisted psychotherapy to treat major depressive disorder. The incredibly positive results have been described as just a, quote, taste of things to come, unquote, with a larger phase 2 trial well underway. The Food and Drug Administration has granted psilocybin, the primary psychoactive compound in magic mushrooms, a breakthrough therapy designation on two occasions over the past 24 months. Initially, the designation...
Isn't it great that the government spent billions to protect us from this?
On the war on drugs, you mean? Fighting this, putting people in prison over this? Yeah. Initially, the designation was granted to help accelerate trials for severe treatment-resistant depression, but more recently, the classification focused on trials for major depressive disorder. Over the last few years, promising preliminary research has shown psilocybin to potentially be effective in helping terminal cancer patients manage their end-of-life anxiety.
Wow.
And the idea there being that if you are on a psychedelic, you may have a more of a likelihood to sort of come to terms with the idea that your life isn't going to last forever and that death isn't a scary thing. And it can kind of change perspectives for people on
I've definitely had they've helped me come to terms with a lot of things.
Absolutely. Initial psilocybin trials focusing on depression concentrated specifically on treatment-resistant depression, a clinical classification that categorizes patients suffering from MDD who have not responded effectively to at least two different pharmacological antidepressant treatments during a current depressive episode. So to translate that, that means that the standard allopathic medicine methods of treating depression are not working for these people.
I'm really curious as to what kind of therapy they're doing. Is it cognitive behavioral?
That is a good question.
That's what they were doing with addicts that had that was having great response with both psilocybin and LSD.
In this case, they say this MDD, which is, again, major depressive disorder, is much more common, with some estimates suggesting over 300 million people worldwide suffering from this debilitating condition.
Hmm.
While a larger phase 2 trial
is
testing...
Is that before or after the pandemic?
Yeah, it's a good question. While a larger phase 2 trial testing psilocybin for MDD is currently underway, this new study in the Journal of JAMA Psychiatry, and I think that's Journal of American Medicine Association, offers the first peer-reviewed published data showing efficacy for this particular mental health condition. This small preliminary trial recruited 24 subjects with at least 2 years of documented history of depression. All of the subjects were required to wean off of any antidepressant treatment before the trial commenced. So they were clean from the medications they'd been on. And the story here says depression was assessed using the standard GRID Hamilton Depression Scale rating. The severe depression scores of 24 or higher on the scale, while 7 or less is classified as no depression. At the beginning of the study, the average score for the cohort was 23. So these were severely depressed people. Mm-hmm. The treatment process resembled the general protocol used in most psilocybin studies. Two doses of psilocybin were administered to each subject, spaced 2 weeks apart. A number of psychotherapy sessions both preceded and followed the active psilocybin sessions. The results were undoubtedly impressive, with 71% of the cohort displaying more than a 50% reduction in depressive symptoms at the 4-week follow-up. So,
wow.
4 weeks after the treatment, 71% of these people had a more than 50% reduction in symptoms. That's pretty significant.
Yeah, and it's not, and the reason Big Pharma hates it is it actually cures.
That's right.
It's not something that you have to keep going
redosing
back and taking every single day for the rest of your life.
I mean, you could, but...
I mean, you could, and you'd probably have a good old time.
Well, you could also microdose on psilocybin fairly effectively and not even trip. You know, that's a possibility, too.
Yeah, though... Well, I mean, I've microdosed, and you do trip somewhat.
A little bit.
But... But yeah, it's amazing therapy.
Here's a little more about the results.
I really wish we could skin some of the drug warriors alive to celebrate.
Well, I don't think that's something you would want to revel in somebody else's pain.
They reveled in mine. What the hell?
Yeah, I understand.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah, I do feel for your desire for revenge, but it definitely is not the way to go.
It's not healthy.
Yeah.
The average depression score for the cohort had dropped from 23 down to 8 a month later, and more than half of the group were considered to be in remission. Quote, the magnitude of the effect we saw was about 4 times larger than what clinical trials have shown for traditional antidepressants on the market. So four times the effect, said Alan Davis from the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine and corresponding author of the study. He said further, quote, because most other depression treatments take weeks or months to work and may have undesirable effects, this could be a game changer if these findings hold up in future gold standard placebo-controlled clinical trials. And I've known people on these antidepressants, the medical ones, like the clinical stuff.
It's not good.
And they always talk about all the awful side effects. Mm-hmm. Sex drive goes to zero. I knew an old co-host of mine used to break out in like a tremendous like pimples all over his back. And, you know, if you thought you were attractive before, now you're not. So
talk about getting depressed.
Yeah, exactly.
My first AA sponsor committed suicide
on antidepressants.
Yeah.
Well, they cause suicides.
Sometimes they cause murder.
Never had suicidal ideation.
Yeah. Right. A lot of these kids at the school shootings are on these things, and they murder people before they suicide themselves. So very, very positive results here. Now, the study isn't without its limitations. It is a small sample with no placebo, so clearer data from larger trials are important. But the only a short follow-up period limits the ability to understand the longer-term benefits of the therapy. But it is a start. However, psychedelic research pioneer Roland Griffiths suggests it's impressive to see these kind of results from a broad population of MDD patients. Prior psilocybin studies have focused on narrow mental health conditions, such as terminal cancer patients, but MDD is a more general condition with a wide variety of manifestations. He says, quote, because there are several types of major depressive disorders that may result in variation in how people respond to treatment, I was surprised that most of our study participants found the psilocybin treatment to be effective. Now, remember, we're talking about people who failed with the major medications. Mm-hmm. Mm. So, like, these guys are seriously depressed, and this had a huge impact on them. Philanthropist Tim Ferriss, who financially supported the study, calls this new research critically important proof of concept. A well-known advocate for psychedelic medicine, Ferriss says these promising results are only the beginning of a major paradigm shift in mental health treatment. He wrote, quote, how do we explain the incredible magnitude and durability of effects? Treatment research with moderate to high doses of psychedelics may uncover entirely new paradigms for understanding and improving mood and mind. This is a thing of this is a taste of things to come from Johns Hopkins. So kudos.
Johns Hopkins does a lot of good work on that.
Yeah, that's some pretty impressive results, and it's very initial. They're going with a 7-site phase 2 trial currently underway, testing the efficacy of a single psilocybin dose, bookended by several psychotherapy sessions in a much larger sample size of MDD subjects. So we'll hopefully find out more about this as this trial is hoped to reach completion sometime in 2021. And what better time to do this than now, when people are more depressed than they've ever been?
Oh, very true.
So check out freedomdecrypted.com. Hopefully soon that site will be back online.
Yeah, it should be back on by tomorrow at 5.
All right, cool. For more of Chris, and stay tuned on dlive.lrn.fm and twitch.lrn.fm as Nobody Tells the Truth kicks off at 10:30 Eastern Time tonight. And we'll see you then. freetalklive.com.
Look, I'm sorry, but you're in for a world of pain if you use Coinomi. The reason is their wallet doesn't support payments. The solution is simple. Let them hear your voice. Message Coinomi on Twitter, it takes 5 seconds, and tell them AnyPay sent you, because they're on the fence right now, and your voice will prove that people care about using Bitcoin for payments. Go tweet at Coinomi now. Or even better, leave a review in the App Store. They really pay attention there. Thanks.
This is a pandemic survival alert, and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone, or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meatpacking plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to survivalseedbank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com.